All right, we'll start off today by not having a quiz. And there are two major things you need to do today involving two different packets, one of which you should have from last week still. That part is pretty self-explanatory. It's the DNA replication part of the packet, so you'll be playing with the puzzles again. But specifically for pages 7, 8, and 9. All right, so do that according to the instructions. I don't even have to go through those. It's self-explanatory. But the part that involves today's packet is preparation for something that's going to involve 2 weeks, this week and next week. This week, we are going to use a technique called polymerase chain reaction, PCR. Polymerase chain reaction got really famous back in the O.J. Simpson trial days, which you guys don't remember, but I do. Anyway, it is really important for forensics, for criminal forensics, but important for a lot of other reasons as well. PCR, or the polymerase chain reaction, is a way to greatly amplify the amount of DNA that you have available. And for instance, in a criminal forensic situation, you might have DNA available to scene, but sometimes it's not very much DNA. And to be able to perform various tests on that DNA, you might need more of it. But you only have so much to work with from the scene itself. Well, the nice thing about DNA, as we've learned in this course, is that it serves as a template for how to make copies of itself, right? So as long as you have some sample DNA, you can use PCR to make as much as you want of that exact DNA, just copy after copy. It will be identical copies. Because PCR, the process, really just mimics what a cell does naturally in the cell cycle during the replication. It mimics DNA replication as it occurs in a cell, but does it outside of a cell, just in test tubes. That's one difference. The other difference is that a natural cell only does it once, right? So you start with one DNA, you end up with two. With PCR, you can set the machine, which is called a thermal cycler. That's what this thing back here is. Because it goes through cycles of getting hot and then cold, hot and cold over and over. Anyway, you can set that machine to do as many rounds of replication as you want, as long as you give it the raw materials and the DNA sample to work with. It will copy it first once into two, and then each of those in the next round into four, and then eight. It's going to double it every time. You can set that number of rounds to anything you want. Typically, it's 40. Well, how many copies do you end up making? 2 to the 40th power, because it doubles it every time. And 2 to the 40th power is a big number. So you can start with a tiny amount of DNA, but as long as you have some, you can make as much as you want, as you need to do whatever tests you have to do, whether that's forensic or for any other reason. And that's all in the background information that you should already have read, but definitely do read it eventually. That's the beginning pages of that packet. But as far as the protocol, that doesn't start until page 4, setting up the PCR reactions. Don't touch with your bare hands any of these tiny tubes in front of you. Those are the PCR tubes. So once I shut up, put gloves on, because you don't want your own DNA to get on those tubes. All right? Anyway, it's really a lot simpler than the original PCR, one that we kept having problems with because we can't get the materials for. That's why it was put off for a week, and then the pre-lab was canceled, because we're not doing the normal PCR this time. It's more simpler, though. I mean, it's much simpler on your end as far as what you have to do, which is nice because it means there's fewer possibilities for making mistakes. And typically, I had bad results on this, which it's easiest just to blame the students, say they did some step wrong, but I actually don't know what went wrong. Anyway, it should be easier for you today. Really, all you have to do is a little bit of micropipetting. So just make sure you set the micropipettes correctly. Keep in mind that the yellow ones, which are 2 to 20, that red digit is 1/10. So 20 would be 200. 5 would be 050. That means 5.0. Okay? All right. Anyway, you'll eventually be adding DNA, but before you do that, you have to come up to me, and I haven't mixed these yet, but I will as soon as I shut up, and I'll tell you when I'm ready for you to come up. But you just have me pipette in the other ingredients necessary for PCR, and then you take those tubes back and put in your chosen owl DNA, which is in this little freezer box, numbered 1 through 20. Just choose any two numbers, but make sure you write them down, which samples you have. And it tells you to label these tiny tubes, but once you are allowed to pick them up when you have gloves on, you'll see how tiny they are. And you can't write very much on these tubes. So it's best to somehow mark your two tubes with some sort of different symbols, and then make a key in your notes as to what symbol actually means, what are the ingredients of that tube, so you can look it up later. All right? Work in pairs, I think, is the best way. It's set up for individuals, and you could do it as an individual, but it's better to work as pairs, I think. So I'll make up enough for you to work in pairs. Your two tubes, once you're able to touch them, they might be connected to each other. Just snap them apart if they are, before you label them and before you bring them up to me. But I'll give you the other ingredients. You take them back. You get the owl DNA from the tubes back there. Just make sure you use a different pipette tip when you get the other DNA, because that DNA is used by other people as well. Make sure you use a clean tip. Use it only for that DNA. Then you put a new tip on for the other DNA that you chose. That all clear? They might still be frozen, by the way. If they're frozen, just take the tube out of the little box and keep it in your warm hand for a couple minutes and it'll liquefy. It has to be liquid, though, for you to micropipette it, so don't try to do it when it's icy. That is all. You 7, 8, and 9 in the other one, don't worry about. This PCR that we're doing, you won't see any results today. Once you get your sample, I remember what else I want to say. Once you get your samples done, we'll put them in the thermal cycler. But that involves writing something down here as well. You're going to put your tubes in this box, in two slots on this box. But all of these holes in this grid correspond to this grid on this paper, which in turn correspond to a grid in this machine. All right? Some of those, 8 of these holes, 8 squares on this, have been marked with an X, so don't use those spots. But put your two samples anywhere that's available on this sheet by writing your initials or whatever your group identifier is for your two slots. All right? And then put your two tubes that correspond to where you put them in the right holes in this. Then I'll transfer them to the machine and you're done for that until next week. We'll look at the results next week. That all clear? In that case, just do it.